sufficient to the task, but especially when you haven't had time to study what you believe he's laid on your heart. I've learned to obey him. And I just wanted to share with you, this is going to be a difficult message for me to preach this morning. I ministered a similar message at my brother-in-law's church during the revival. The text I'm going to be preaching from this morning is the same, but I believe he's given me a message for us this morning. And it'll be for you to judge whether it's from the Lord or not. But I believe the Lord wants to transform us today and change some of our hearts today. And I want you to understand the heart that this message is being delivered with. It's like Brother Charles Stanley said. He said, I've never preached a message I didn't need to hear myself. And I'm speaking to Greg Browning as much this morning in this message as I will be to the body of Christ. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11? 1 Kings chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go unto them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him, concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of Solomon, spiritual adultery, and the last generation. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, today as we come before you, Lord, I ask you for the divine strength and enablement of the Holy Spirit to preach your message of your transforming power and grace in love. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will mightily convict us today, Lord, of sin. That, Lord, we would see clearly, more clearly, the evil of cleaving to any type of sin, Lord Jesus. And that, Lord, we would bring it to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and have it cleansed and, Lord, have it taken out of our lives and have our spirits renewed, Lord Jesus. For as we sang this morning, what a song, this world has nothing for us, Lord Jesus. You are all in all. Let not our hearts be turned in this last day, Heavenly Father. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord, for whatever you do in our hearts and lives. And Lord, I know this is a call from heaven today to come closer to you. It's a call from heaven to allow you to make us more holy. It's a call from heaven, I believe, to righteousness in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'll never forget the first time that I attended the concert of then a little-known Christian singer. His name was Ray Bolts. And the song, it was 1980, if I remember correctly. And President Reagan had taken a great stand against the evil of abortion in the United States of America and was doing his best to influence the Supreme Court to strike down the Roe versus Wade. They had a tremendous march in Washington, D.C., some years after he took office. I believe that was 1983. The Great March Against Abortion in Washington, D.C. And it was in the early 80s that, and he said this was the first time he'd ever sung the song at this particular concert. Ray Bolts wrote a beautiful song about the evil of abortion. It was called What Was I Supposed to Be? It was like the cry of an unborn child, and the words to it went something to the effect of, what was I supposed to be? What were my eyes supposed to see? And why did I have to taste of death before I even drew my first breath? What was I supposed to be? Ray Bolts went on and became very popular in the Christian world. Wrote several songs that I know, have no doubt, were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. He wrote, That's What This Altar Is For, a beautiful song about coming to the altar and bringing your sin to the foot of the cross and leaving it with the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing Him to cleanse you. And what songs and what gifting this man had. He was a real man of God. But about 3 years ago, he came out in public and announced that he was a homosexual Christian and that he was going to start to attend a Christian homosexual church. I want you to think of that. When you look at a person, especially those who in the Christian realm are so gifted by God, and I've seen it happen in ministers of the gospel too, men who no doubt have a call of God on their life to preach this word, but yet their heart gets so turned away from God. This week I can't stand it for very long at all anymore, as I've watched the TBN, they call it a praise-a-thon, I call it a beg-a-thon, where several preachers on there, and it was obvious to me, that these men have a call of God on their life. But here they are prostituting that call, promising people that if they'll send X amount of money based on Joel 2:25, you send $225, that's God's word for tonight, making a sham of their calling. Something the Last Days Church needs to know, and I've said this before, but it's worth reiterating this morning. You better not follow a person's gifting. You better not follow their gifting because they're men. And I want to say this. You say, well, those songs that Ray Bolts wrote, and he was obviously right with God when he wrote them. They were birthed of the Holy Ghost. We shouldn't listen to those. No, you should listen to them. Because at that time, they were birthed by the Holy Spirit. And you know, this we need to know this too. When something's birthed of the Spirit of God, man can take no credit for it. Man, all the credit goes to God. Always. Whenever you hear a sermon or a message from God that blesses you, don't give that preacher credit for it. It came from God. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, should get the glory for every song that blesses and ministers, for every message that blesses and ministers, for whatever's done in the church that blesses. Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, deserves the credit for it and not human flesh. But what is it that can turn the heart of an individual like someone who's gifted like Ray Bolts or like some of the preachers that we see on TBN who have now just turned the message of Christ into a money-making scheme? What is it that turns an individual's heart when they start off right and end up so wrong? I submit to you, we often think today that, well, if God would just do this, then I could believe him. Then I'd be over this obstacle that's in front of me, or this sin that is continually besetting me that I struggle with. If God had just come down and do something, then that would give me victory over it. That's terribly errant thinking according to the Word of God. Our victory only comes through faith in the victory he won. Your sin nature cannot be quelled by any power except that which comes from heaven, the power of the Holy Ghost. We as human beings are totally helpless to change our lives in any capacity. Miracles will not change your sin nature. Miracles will not deliver you from sin. Spiritual manifestations do not bring victory over the sin nature, and I'm going to prove it to you. If you think that if I could just have some grandiose spiritual experience with God, it'd fix everything. We read in the text this morning about Solomon, who the Bible says that under his reign in Israel, it was called the golden age of Israel because he made gold and silver like rocks in the land of Israel because God's blessing was on him so strong. We read in this book of 1 Kings over in chapter 3, at the time Solomon first has ascended to the throne of God, he has a very humble heart. So much so that the Bible tells us the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I want you to think of that for a moment. This is God Almighty talking to a man. "What do you want me to do for you?" And Solomon could have asked anything of God that he wanted, and God would have given it to him. But Solomon, at this point in his life, in humility, realizing the magnitude of his position as being king and judge over this great nation of Israel that his father David had been used by God to establish, he said, "Lord, if you'll just give me an understanding heart and wisdom to follow you and to rule your people correctly, that's all I asked you for." Now bear in mind the largesse of what's going on here. God Almighty, who spoke these worlds into being, asks a man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And what Solomon responded with to God out of a heart of humility, the Bible says it pleased the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Solomon, I'm going to give you what you asked for." And I'm paraphrasing it. You can read all this in 1 Kings chapter 3. "I'm going to give you what you asked for, Solomon. I'm going to make you the wisest man who's ever walked this planet." And he said, "Because you have not asked for honor or riches for yourself, I'm also going to make you the richest man on the planet and the most honored man on the planet." But the Lord went on and told him, "Only do not go after false gods, and do not intermarry with these other nations that surround Israel that worship the false gods." And God, being true to his word, and this blessed me when I saw this, God is faithful to his word. And this has been so true in my life. Even when we don't perform faithfully for him, he still remains faithful to you and I. And he fulfilled in toto the promise that he made to Solomon. And you would think that having this great of a spiritual experience would so solidify a person in their faith and in their God that they would never want to stray or never want anything else. Isn't that the mindset of most people? "God, if you would only do this, if you would let this spiritual manifestation happen, if you would give me a word of prophecy through Brother Big Bucks, or if you'd give me a word of knowledge from Sister Bucket Mouth, I know everything would be all right then. Or if you'd only give me more money, or give me this, or give me that, everything would be all right, God." And how many times has it been my observation in my own life that God has given just what I asked Him for, and it did not bring the result that I'd hoped it would bring? Solomon's heart, even after having this face-to-face meeting with God Almighty and God giving him everything, his wisdom became renowned throughout the known world. His wealth was unsurpassed at this point in history. And he ruled the kingdom of Israel effectively, making rocks, or making gold and silver like rocks in the land, is how the Bible put it. That's how wealthy everybody became, because of his humble heart before God. But Solomon made a mistake. And I see this mistake, and it's how people like Ray Bolts, who one time were so mightily used by God, end up attending a homosexual church. It's how men that are called by God to preach this gospel of Christ and Him crucified wind up in front of a TV camera begging and using God's people for merchandise. And I submit to you this morning that it's the church's fault that the aberrant gospel that is preached over that network is allowed to go on. It is the church's fault, because we have this word of God, and there is no excuse for those giving multiplied millions of dollars to these spiritual idiots who are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the fault of the church, because this word shows them that they are of the world and not of God. But yet the church cleaves to it because we love our spiritual superstars more than we love Jesus Christ. It's like in the days of Israel when they were crying for a king. Give us a king so that we can be like other nations. And it was God's will to eventually give them a king, but not in the time they were crying out for it. Solomon's problem was that he began to believe that he in and of himself was something special. That's why God appeared to me. Pride in the human heart. And pride will turn the human heart away from God faster than any sin. And let me be more precise in my statement. Pride is at the root of any sin there is. You name it, whatever it is. Gambling, lust, pornography. At the heart of it is pride. It's man saying to God, I know better how to get what I need and when I want it than when you want to give it to me in your time. And even though God had blessed Solomon's soul, Solomon in his heart had begun to think, what I have... Oh, we've got to guard against pride, church. We've so got to guard our heart against pride. If we don't, anything becomes possible for any of us. I don't care how well you know the message of the cross, and you may have Sun Life broadcasting, beaming through your house 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It does no good if you do not guard your heart and let the Holy Spirit keep you in a humble position, realizing our need is continually upon Jesus Christ and upon the power of the Holy Ghost to keep our lives held in check. Because without the power of the Holy Ghost quelling the power of the sin nature, any of us are capable of anything. I don't care how close to God you think you are. Has God appeared to anybody in a dream and said, ask me what you want me to do for you? It really doesn't matter if he did, because it didn't work for Solomon either. When pride creeps in and you begin to think, I know better than God what needs to be done. What happened to Solomon? Little by little, he began to let his pride and all that God had blessed him with take over. And the end result of what happened in 1 Kings chapter 3, when God first appeared to him, and the man you read about in 1 Kings chapter 11 are two different people altogether. That transformation took place over a period of time, a little compromise at a time. God told him, don't intermarry with anybody outside of Israel. any of these evil nations around you. Because God knew what would happen. The great A.W. Tozer, I'll never forget his statement. He said, the problem with a little bit of sin is that it never stays a little bit of sin. And the Bible tells us, think of it. This man whom God appeared to now is cleaving. The Bible says he clave. He loved these false idols. As he began to, one by one, marry women of other nations that worship false gods and not Jehovah God. That's a perfect picture of sin in the life of a believer. I'm not talking about sinners this morning. That's a perfect picture of how sin takes over in the life of a believer. A little bit of a time as that believer thinks, I can handle this. I can deal with this. It never stays small. It never stays small. My Lord, the Holy Ghost is reaching out to us this morning. He wants to do a mighty work in us. He wants to do a fresh cleansing in us. He wants to give us a fresh infusion of the righteousness of Jesus Christ this morning. But to obtain that, and it is very obtainable, we're going to have to come to the foot of the cross and agree with God that, Lord, our gambling is sin. Lord, our looking at pornography is sin. Lord, our gossip is sin. Lord, our unforgiveness is sin. Because it's going to destroy us if we don't bring it to the foot of the cross. And you may think, I'm still the same. One morning Solomon woke up, and here he was, the man whom God appeared to. And the Bible says that he was allowing the worship of Chemosh. Let me tell you a little bit about the worship of Chemosh. Chemosh was an idol that had a long, skinny deer's neck and head on it, with two outstretched arms over an open pit of fire. That when they sacrificed to Chemosh, they would light that fire in the hollow pit beneath the outstretched arms of this deer head and lay little babies on it live and then bang drums to beat out their cries. This is the man who God appeared to. Sin will destroy anybody. Sin is a reproach to any nation, this Bible says. But to us believers, we cannot play with it in any capacity. And the trouble is that Solomon's heart was so turned, he didn't want to admit that, Lord, what I'm doing is wrong. It's all right. I got the blessing of God on me. My Lord, don't mistake God's gracious faithfulness to his promise to you for his stamp of approval on a lifestyle of sin in any capacity. This Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you. The only excuse for a believer allowing sin to get a hold on his life, especially one that knows the message of the cross, is that he has willingly suspended the voice of the Holy Spirit and change the object of his faith off of Christ and him crucified onto someone or something else. And when that happens, the sin nature is going to run rampant. And it's not going to stop. It's not the devil. It's us. It's not going to stop. It's insatiable. You name the sin, and it's insatiable to the sin nature that we all have within us. Look where it took Solomon to. From a man who was asked by God face to face in a dream, what do you want me to do for you? To where now he's burning babies live on the false altars or on the altars of the false gods of the women that he's married. In Romans 7, the Bible talks to us about spiritual adultery. My Lord, help me to preach it right. This is not a message of condemnation this morning. The Holy Spirit, I've seasoned this message with tears. And I said, Lord, please help me to preach it to your people right. I don't want to condemn them. But if this is a message of conviction you're calling me to preach this morning, I want the Holy Spirit to convict us all. I want pride rooted out of any area. And if you're marrying yourself spiritual, to some sin and you're cleaving to it and don't want to let go of it because you love it. You know what the problem is with most believers, even ones that may know the message of the cross? Is you don't want to admit you're in love with a particular sin. And until we're willing to admit that, God can't help us. God can't help us until we agree with Him. It is what it is. We try to excuse it away many times. Oh, well, I only do it once in a while. You know the most fearful time for a believer, what should strike sheer terror in our hearts, is when we no longer feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit when we commit a sin and we know it's a sin. See, that's what happened to Solomon. He had fallen so in love with his sin that he no longer wanted to go to God and repent over it. Even though God had specifically told him, this is wrong, Solomon, don't do this. I'll give you all of this great blessing, but don't go this route. Don't marry these strange gods or these women who worship these strange gods. Here's the question the Holy Ghost once posed to all of us this morning. Are you married spiritually to some strange god this morning? Is there some sin that you're cleaving to? And I'm not even going to try and name them. It could be anything. But I'm here to tell you, there's something more than the big five. Smoking, drinking, chewing, cussing, and sexual immorality. I want to tell you, harboring unforgiveness against someone is just as wrong as committing adultery in the sight of God. And you may love holding on to that, but it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you spiritually. And it will change the fabric of your entire moral being. And you think, what I need is one great church service will fix everything. No, it won't. What's needed is repentance. We've been teaching on this in Wednesday night, and it's something I try to do every day. I try to live in repentance. Because another quote I read by A.W. Tozer, and it makes so much sense. He said, the depth of our spirituality, in other words, our walk with God, is directly proportional to the depth of our repentance. Because repentance keeps us humble before God. Repentance keeps us going back to God and saying, Lord, rescue me. Like the song we sang this morning, rescue me, Lord. I'm helpless without your touch. Lord, the sin has gotten a hold of me and I love it. And I'm ashamed of it, Lord, but I call it what you call it. I call it sin. Deliver me from it. And then we'll find the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to what the book of Romans chapter 8 tells us, the law of liberty in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, concerning the last days, he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He wasn't speaking to Pharisees there. He was speaking to his disciples. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He was speaking to his disciples there, not the Pharisees. Because look at what he said. The love of many shall wax cold. In other words, you started off loving me. You started off, you fully accepted the message of the cross and believed in it. You laid your sins there. But at some point in time, you let yourself start to toy with a particular area of sin. And now it's got a great grip on you. How can, I see this happening before our very eyes in this last day, church. In this last generation, I believe. I believe we're living in it. I believe unless the Lord takes us some other way, with us living out a normal lifespan of approximately 70 years, I believe everybody here this morning is going to see the rapture of the church. Now think of that. That's how close we are, I believe. And God wants His church to be purified. He wants it to be white as snow. He wants it to be without spot or blemish. And that requires that we live a life of repentance before Him as individual believers. And if there is a sin that has a grip on us and we love it, we should not eschew it. We should not think we're going to be able to handle it. We need to get that thing to the foot of the cross, because it's going to destroy you and your walk with God. Think of this. The Bible says that the Lord became angry with Solomon over him intermarrying with all these strange women and attaching himself to the false worship of their idolatrous evil gods. I've seen it happen, and it strikes fear in my heart, because I know it could happen to me. I've seen people who know the message of the cross go chasing after, who at one time loved the message of the cross, go chasing after a false religious system. And the Lord loves us all, and He wants us warned this morning. It can happen to any of us if we're playing with sin. You know, the Lord understands and is very patient and loving and long-suffering with anybody who's willing to agree with Him about sin and call it what it is. He'll work with you. He'll be patient with you. I don't care how many times you slip up. As long as you will in sincerity keep going back to Him and saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. What I just did was sin. Please help me. Please, please help me." He won't give up on you. But I will tell you this, conversely, when you stop allowing the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to penetrate your heart and you no longer have that desire to repent, that should strike terror in your heart. When there's something in your life and you know it's a sin, and you're not feeling the need to get to the altar or to repent over it. See, that's what happened to Solomon. And look where it took his life to. And that's what will happen in any life where repentance before the Lord Jesus Christ is not a systematic, regular, and continual practice for the child of God. I want to ask you something. When was the last time you repented over a sin? I could probably tell you when was the last time you asked God for something. If you like me, you'd probably say, "Well, 5 minutes ago." When was the last time you went to Him in hot tears and said, "Lord, I know this is a sin that's transpiring in my life, and I'm throwing myself on Your grace and mercy, and I'm bringing it to the foot of Your cross because I want delivered from it. I know it's ugly to You and it's ugly to me, Lord." If we don't continually come to the foot of the cross with our sin, our lives are going to turn out just like Solomon's did. Even though we may have the intellectual knowledge of the message of the cross, if we cleave and love something that we know God abhors and has told us not to engage in, and we don't repent of it, it's going to destroy us. And I want to tell you this, religious pride is the worst sin there is. Because religious pride has fallen under the delusion that God's grace will automatically cover their sin no matter what they do. You're wrong, my friend, if that's what you believe. You're dead wrong. 1 John 1 and 9 says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When was the last time you repented? When was the last time you really repented before the Lord and went to Him in hot tears? And I'm going to say this. The Lord told me to stress this. And I'm not talking only going to Him and repenting over what we've done. But I'm talking about going to Him and repenting to Him of what we are. Hopeless, helpless sinners. That, Lord, without the power of Your Holy Spirit coming down to help us, we're doomed to end up just like Solomon. You see, mankind, we love to think of ourselves as being good, and there's no good in us. The Bible backs me up on that. There is none good. No, not one. Well, I think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good lady. There's no such thing before a holy God. Unless you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith rests exclusively in what He did for you on the cross and you are living daily in repentance and faith in what He did on that cross, then the law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. But it's only then that it happens. There is a prerequisite to it. It's not automatic. And if we don't live lives of repentance daily, and you say, well, I'm a believer. I'm washed in the blood. Yes, that's true. But there needs to be a continual confession to God that, Lord Jesus, were it not for my faith in your precious sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, which releases the power of your Holy Spirit to work in me, I'm going to be a mess. I'm going to do things, Lord, that are going to displease you. I'm going to live a lifestyle of sin and make no mistake about it. Let me draw a distinction here. If you're struggling with sin, and by struggling I mean you're taking it to the cross and you're telling the Lord, Lord, I don't want to do this. Change me. Keep on. Keep on. You're living in repentance. He's going to keep working with you and your victory is going to come one day. He'll give you that victory. Quite possibly He could be using that in your life now to drive you to repentance and humility at the foot of His cross. But I tell you this morning, based on the authority of His word, if you live with a contrite heart, He will not give up on you. He'll keep working with you. Now let me give you the converse side of that. If you are living your life nonchalantly, going around just sinning and not even thinking a thing about it, you are not born again. The Spirit of God cannot dwell in someone who's continually bent on living a lifestyle of sin before Him. See, that's where Solomon was led to. I know the Lord told me, I know this wasn't going to be no shouting message today, but I'm here to please Him. Because whether you might get mad at Greg Browning for preaching a message like I'm preaching this morning, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm preaching it because I want to see you one day in the portals of glory, and I don't want to see you end up like a King Solomon. Thinking, well, I knew the message of the cross. I watched Sun Life Broadcasting. I listened to Brother Larson and Brother Swaggart. Woo-hoo, I'm going to heaven. No! If your faith's in them, you're in trouble. I love them with all my heart too, but they didn't go to the cross for me. As much as I admire and respect Sun Life Broadcasting, it didn't go to the cross for me. Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. And there is where the believer's allegiance should lie. And if your faith is resting just because you have the intellectual knowledge of the message of the cross and you're listening to the right message, you can still live a debaucherous life. And if there's no desire in your heart to repent over that, and you're not sorry for living that way, you are not born again, and the Spirit of God is not on the inside of you. You'd better get to an altar. You'd better find you an altar somewhere and fall afresh and anew at the feet of the world's Redeemer at the foot of His cross and say, Lord Jesus, I'm living a horrible life. I'm living a sinful life, Lord. Will you give me the power to overcome this? And you'll find the power of God there if you'll do that. But not only is it a one-time event, that's what the Holy Spirit keeps leading me to stress to us all. That must be an ongoing and continual event in our lives. He's telling me to bear down hard on it now. To not only repent of what we do, but what we are. That needs to get to the core of us this morning. The Holy Spirit's pressing me hard on that point. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm not only meaning being sorry for the manifestations of an act of sin. I mean, I'm talking about living in repentance before Him for saying, Lord, it's what's in me. It's what I am is a sinner. It goes to my very core. Why do you think in the Old Testament God had them take the innards out of that sacrificial animal and hold them up before Him before they threw it on the brazen altar? It was an effect, mankind saying to God, the sacrifice, Lord, for my sin goes to the very core of what I am. And I not only repent for what I've done, I repent for what I am, Lord Jesus. And if we'll do that, That's the only safety there is from sin and its ravages. You see, that's been the problem in the church over the last 50, 60 years. There's been two things that have been woefully neglected in our preaching. Number one, of course, Christ and Him crucified. Number two, sin in the life of the believer. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What is iniquity from God's perspective? There's a lot of things we could say there, but in context, do you know what Jesus was saying? Do you know what is the most vile and evil thing that can be done to another human being? It's not murder, rape, molestation. The most vile thing that can be done to another human being is to give them a false gospel. Because under a false gospel, they can't get right with God. It's impossible. That's the most evil thing you can do to another human being. And that's why Jesus said, because iniquity. And what He was speaking of, because there will be so much falsehood taught about me in the gospel in the last days, the love of many toward me is going to wax cold. Because let me tell you something. If we do not properly understand the cross of Christ, we've got nothing to praise God for. If we don't properly understand the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, we've got nothing to be grateful to Him for. Nothing. That's the basis of all praise and worship, is the cross. And if we don't understand that, we're not going to love Him as we should. We're not even going to love Him like we should. We've got nothing to love Him for if we don't understand the cross. If we just think Jesus was a kind man who came and died on a cross, and because of that, we believe that we're universally saved. And that's exactly what that is. That's universalism. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that He did come and He did give His life as a sacrifice. But God demands that faith be placed in the object of His sacrifice, Jesus Christ, and be maintained there. And that's why the love of men and so many is waxing cold right now. The cross isn't preached. Do you know what's being preached? Money. Money. People get excited. Lord, I watch that gang of goons on TBN just standing there doing this. Just jumping over every song that's sung. And it's all about money. Every bit of it. Get mad at me if you want to. I really don't care. I'm preaching to please Him this morning. When I lay my head down to my pillow at night, you ain't going to be there with me. Only two people going to be there, Ravon and the Lord. And I love you. And the reason I'm preaching this is because I hope you're receiving it correctly. It's a clarion call from the Holy Ghost for us to live righteous and holy lives before God. And it is altogether possible to do that through faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, and through repenting daily of not only what we've done, but what we are. If we don't live that way, our Christian life is not ordered in that fashion, we'll not be set free from the law of sin and death. The law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus, mentioned in Romans 8, is predicated in totality on you placing and keeping your faith in what He did for you at the cross. And if you understand that, your love's not going to wax cold for Him. If you understand the cross properly, you can't help but love Jesus Christ. If you understand the cross properly, when you hear it preached, you want to shout in your soul. If you're bored with the cross, then you're ice cold spiritually and you need to get to an altar and repent. Because the cross says to us that we were hopeless, hell-bound sinners with no hope of ever being made right with God. But Jesus Christ, the jewel of heaven, came and took on the form of man, took stripes on His back, took my crown of thorns upon His head, took my cross up Calvary's hill, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, gave His life for me. Don't play with sin. Don't wash it away. Don't try to say it's just my little pet thing I do from time to time. I'm telling you, it's going to grow and it's going to kill you. you'll wind up just like Solomon did. I don't care how close you were to God at one time. What you got 5 years ago, you need a fresh renewal of today because God's got more. God's always got something fresh and new for us, His children. That's why that song we sang this morning, I love, this world has nothing for us, but Jesus Christ has everything for us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Don't trade the glory and the grandeur that should be yours as a believer for a hardened, prideful heart and want to hold on to some pet sin. It'll destroy you eventually. I don't care who we are. I don't care how spiritually strong you are. I don't care how gifted you are. If we do not live in repentance before a holy God, our sins will overtake us and destroy us. And I preach this not to talk down to anybody. I've cried this week as the Lord's poured this message through me and showed me it can happen to you, Greg. And I thought, oh God, you're so right. I don't want to end up like Solomon. I don't want it to be said, as we're studying the judgment seat of Christ on Wednesday nights, that when I walk in before Him, that I suffer loss because I clave to something I shouldn't have been cleaving to. And I tell you this, the danger is in cleaving to it, is that we may not make it. I want to tell you, as I'm concluding now, every indication is, from how Scripture reads, is that Solomon died lost. Now think of that. A man whom God appeared to and said, what do you want from me? I'll give you anything. Every indication from Scripture, every evidence points toward the fact this great king of Israel died lost and not right with God. It can happen to anybody. Don't take it lightly. Don't take any sin lightly. If you know it's there, get it to the cross. Don't keep playing with it. Because I'll tell you this, all sin, I don't care what it is, it's going to have a great deal of pleasure in it to the human flesh. You know, I could start naming things that really don't matter. It's all the same. It will always involve a great deal of pleasure to human flesh, whatever sin it is. And the danger is you can wind up like Solomon. We can end up like Solomon. Cleaving to that, loving that more than we love Jesus. It's altogether possible. And Satan uses a lot of times good things. I look at somebody like Rick Warren, who's so terribly deceived on what this real gospel is about. And Joel Osteen, so terribly deceived on what the real gospel is about. But you know what? They're cleaving to the gospel they've created because it so satisfies their human flesh and has brought them so much of this world's adulation and so much of this world's material good. They don't want to let go of it now. They've chosen that over the riches in Christ Jesus. So, and it can happen to anybody. I just use their lives as examples. If we don't live in repentance before a holy God, and we, just because we're not famous, don't make it any different for us. They just happen to be famous. The same thing will happen to anybody, though, who imbibes in a sin thinking they can get away with it. God help us all. God help us all. But the good news is, I love it. As Paul was writing the great 6th, 7th, and 8th chapters of Romans, he came to that place that I've been to, and I know you've been to before, and I believe it's verse 24 of chapter 7, where he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this vile body of death? He was in sorrow over the sin nature in his life that had revived in him as a believer, and he couldn't understand why. Until he saw, I've shifted my faith back on to human performance and law. And it's allowed this sin nature to revive in me, and I'm doing things that I hate now. That happens to all of us if we don't come to Christ and what He did on the cross. and live in it. But then he begins that great 8th chapter of Romans. See, he was hungry to do the right thing before God. And when you're hungry to do the right thing before God, even though we're all imperfect, even though we all at this very moment in time would have things in our lives that would keep us out of heaven, if we'll keep our faith in Him and agree with Him in repentance, Lord, I am a sinner. Help me, Lord. Rescue me from the power of this thing. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this vile body of death? But then God gave him the answer in Romans 8. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Glory! There is no condemnation. And then he went on to say, the law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. And that's what we're talking about. That's what happened in Solomon's life. That law of sin and death began to reign because of his unrepentant heart, because of his pride before God, because of him looking at all God had used him for and blessed him with. And he began to think, I'm something special to God. Hear this. No matter how much ever God blesses you with anything, it all belongs to him. It's by His grace. Don't ever think you had any part in it. Whatever He gives you, whatever He does for you, it's all Him. It's none of us. And my Lord, haven't you seen people before who believe this? I see them all the time still. Well, God blesses me so because I'm the biggest tither in the church. I believe in tithing as much as anybody. Yes, it's scriptural. You should do it. But it doesn't buy us one second of holiness or righteousness before God. It doesn't buy us any blessing before God. If it did, the Lord would have just sent a tither to the top of Golgotha's hill and had him pay tithe, then would have been redeemed. No, no, no. The law of the Spirit of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. What is that? That makes it all of Him. It takes all the focus off of us and puts it all on Him. Bring it to the cross this morning. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe you thought, Pastor, you're off your rocker this morning. This had nothing to do with me. I'll tell you this. Well, it's done me good, if nobody else. I needed to hear this morning. I blessed myself with this preaching. But I know when God has had me deliver a message like this, somebody needed to desperately hear it. And there might be one or perhaps several of you. You're about to lose your way with God this morning. I mean, I'm talking about for all of eternity. Maybe His Spirit has striven with you time after time to bring you into right relationship with Him. He said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. You can harden your heart so like Solomon did and continue on in religious worship. Religious worship, I said. And be deceived into thinking, well, it's all right with God. He's just looking over my sin. I can go out and do whatever I want to do, say a little prayer, Lord, forgive me. Okay, everything's all right now. No. No, no, no. You're badly deceived. And I take no pleasure in telling you this. I want to see you get right with God. I want to see you walking with God in power and in glory. I want to see you obtain the riches that should be yours in Christ Jesus. And the Lord wants that too. That's why He sent me by today to tell you this message. Repent this morning. Is the message of the Holy Ghost. Repent. Repent. I'm not asking you to repent to me. I can't do you no good. I can't help you. Matter of fact, I'm going to be up here with you repenting this morning, okay? Take it to the cross. Take it to the cross. The Holy Spirit's sending you a clarion call of love this morning. Because we could all very well end up just like Solomon did, no matter how well we start off with God. No matter how right we've been for 20 years, if we allow something and we marry our lives spiritually to something that's not of God, that we know is wrong, that God has commanded us not to do, we'll fall in love with it. We'll face the same result Solomon faced. It's dangerous, church. I know it's been spiritually sobering this morning. But I love you. And I want to preach what God wants me to preach. And I've tried. I hope you've received it in the humble spirit. I've tried to preach it. It was meant for me as much as anybody. We need to live a life of repentance before a holy God. That's part of walking in the law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus, is realizing every day, that's part of picking up the cross daily, as Jesus said to do, is to realize, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I'm hopeless, Lord, to be bound by my sin, except you come and send your Holy Spirit to help me out. And the good news is, he'll do that every time if we'll put our faith solely in his shed blood. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, today I pray that I've preached this message in a way that is first of all pleasing to you. And Lord, secondly, was anointed by the Holy Spirit and went into the hearts of all of us. That we see the danger of any kind of sin that we're playing with in our lives, Lord. It's deadly, it's evil, and it'll destroy us. And it's altogether possible we could end up like Solomon, falling so in love, cleaving to that sin, that we would miss heaven over it. Because it will eventually wreck our walk with you, Lord Jesus. Lord, today I pray that you'll shine your light of conviction in all of our hearts. And that, Lord, we would see the evil of any sin that's there. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you today and we acknowledge our sin before you. It's like King David said, my sin is ever before me. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whiter than snow. Hallelujah. As you stand in the presence of the Lord this morning, just between you and him, the Holy Spirit never wants to embarrass anybody, but he wants to help us all this morning. I know that. As this message has been delivered, and he's asking me, I believe, to pose the question again, when was the last time you went to him in heartfelt repentance? Acknowledging, Lord, this or that I'm doing, it's a sin. And you know what he's telling me to say right now to all of us? It's okay for us to admit to him that we love the sin. He understands our flesh. But if that acknowledgement is in your heart, you need to thank him for it. If you still know it's wrong, you need to praise God for that. That proves the Spirit of God's still there. That's proof the Spirit of God is still working with you. If that conviction is still there that it's wrong. But here's what I feel he's given me for this altar service. If it's there, if you've married yourself to something that you know is unclean as a sin before God, if you'll put your faith in his shed blood, he wants to give you a divorce from that thing, and he wants to remarry you to him today. Hallelujah. Just like in the book of Hosea, after he told Hosea to take a wife of whoredoms, and she was sold into slavery. And then he told Hosea, you go buy her back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as she stood on the auction block, Hosea paid the highest bid for her. Let me tell you something. That's a perfect picture of our salvation. As you and I stood on the auction block of sin, and we had committed spiritual idolatry and whoredoms and adultery before Jesus Christ. But he came back after us via the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And said, I'll pay the price to get them back. Hallelujah. You've got to love him for that. You've got to feel his grace and mercy and love for you. Take that sin to the cross this morning and let him divorce you from it. And remarry you to him and call it what it is. The Holy Spirit is telling me right now, don't whitewash it. Don't try to say it's just a thing I do from time to time. If it's a sin, you know it. You're a child of God. And if you're aware intellectually it's a sin and you're not feeling conviction in your spirit, you really need to pray this morning then. But I don't believe that's the case with anybody here today. I believe he's telling me it's their victory day today if they'll come to me with it. And between you and him, just between you and him, I think you know what I mean. Take it to the cross. Tell him it's sin. And from this day forward, live your Christian experience in repentance before him every day. Every day. You'll never go wrong repenting before a holy God. You'll never go wrong. Not only repenting for what we've done, but for what we are. Now you talk to him right now in your own words. I believe everybody knows what they need to tell him. And I'm just going to pray a general prayer for all of us. Heavenly Father, we come to the foot of your cross today, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you paid the price to buy us back. And that, Lord, you gloriously have washed us in your precious blood. And, Lord, if we have married ourselves spiritually to any sin and we're cleaving to it, Lord, it's wrong. We agree with you today. We agree with you today, Lord Jesus. It's wrong. It's abhorrent in your sight. And it's going to destroy us if we don't allow you to come in and give us victory over it. Do a work deep in us today, Holy Ghost, I ask in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't want to see anyone. I don't want to see my own life end up like Solomon's, Lord. I know that just because I'm a minister, it gives me no special standing with you, Lord. And Lord, we ask as individuals and corporately today for you to wash this church and our individual lives clean in the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, we repent today of our sin. And Lord, we repent of being sinners today. I so feel the pleasure of the Holy Spirit of what we're doing right now. Oh God, let us be like Solomon in 1 Kings 3. Keep us in that state, Lord Jesus, where we're humble before you in our daily lives. Realizing, Lord, that without your divine intervention, we're hopeless. We're helpless. Oh God, but with the effectual power of your Holy Spirit dwelling in us daily, Lord, what transformed lives we'll present to this world. And Lord, I'm asking you to start a revival of righteousness in us. I'm asking you to start a revival of holiness in us. I'm asking you to start a revival of repentance in us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't understand why we as a body keep coming to, I feel the brink of a real breakthrough, and then we fall back. But Lord, I believe and I suspect strongly it's because we have not lived lives of repentance before you. Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to see your message go forth, Lord. I really believe in my heart, Lord. We're not a perfect church, but I don't believe we have a problem with fleshly pride in this church, at least in wanting to exalt ourselves when we come together. Lord, everything that we try to do is to hold you up, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, as bone-chilling as it is, we must look inwardly and admit it's something we're doing wrong. And Lord, maybe we don't even know. We repent of sin right now, Lord Jesus, that we're not even aware of, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Sins we're not even aware of, Lord Jesus, we bring to the foot of the cross. And Lord, make us aware. And we'll be quick to repent once it's revealed to us. But Lord, today, for that which is known is what I believe you want to deal with. And I believe you have. And Lord, I pray that this will be a life-changing day for us. That, Lord, we won't forget this message of living in repentance. Maybe that's what I should have entitled it. But, Lord, that's what we desire. That's what we need. We need to live before you in repentance. That's part of taking up the cross daily, is repenting before you. Never let us be the same after today, Lord. And I believe in the coming weeks, as we apply your message to our hearts and lives and live daily in faith and repentance before you, that we're going to see transformation take place on a degree we never thought possible. That's the kind of work we want you to do in us, Lord Jesus. That's the kind of work that absolutely has to be done in us. And only you can do it. And Lord, in conclusion today in our prayer, we thank you that you've heard our cry. And I believe that all around this altar this morning, maybe things that people have been holding back for you for a long time, Lord, and not dealing with, have been dealt with today. And they're walking out in a newer level of freedom and liberty today in Christ Jesus. And it's all because of the law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your graciousness. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Lord, for being long-suffering with us, your wayward children, Lord. And Jesus, I just feel the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit in a deep, real way, Lord. Not a superficial, fleshly way. The Holy Spirit can never manifest himself in that way. Lord, it's us when it's superficial and fleshly. But I sense that there's been a real deep move of the Holy Spirit on our hearts and lives today. Lord, I know you've moved in mine all week as I prepared this message. And Lord, I pray that I preached it to your people. I would never want to condemn them. I would never, Lord Jesus, want to speak down to them. I pray you've helped me deliver it with a humble heart, Lord, as one speaking to another one who is in the same condition, not someone who is above anyone. And Lord Jesus, I just praise you and thank you for what you've done in my heart today. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for what I feel you've done in a lot of hearts today. Let us live in repentance before you, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we ask and pray, and we thank you for the mighty and effectual working of the Holy Spirit today. Amen and amen. Would you give him a hand of praise? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now the Lord's telling me this before he let us go. After a message like I've had to preach today, it's been uncomfortable for me. It's been uncomfortable for you. You missed a great chance to say amen there. But he's telling me to say this right now. Don't dare walk out of here in defeat. Don't dare walk out of here in shame and condemnation. Because he's telling me to say it again. The law of liberty and life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. When you've repented before God, I don't care what it was you took to him this morning, it don't matter. His blood cleansed it. His blood cleansed it. The second you cried on him, hallelujah, the crimson flow came over that thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel victory in that today. Walk in this every day. Not just what we're feeling in church this morning. We should be walking in this victory every day, and we will if we'll live in faith and repentance before him. Amen. There is no defeat in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's been great to be in God's house today. Sister Amy, good to see you back with us today. God bless you. We've missed you. We're going to pick up on Wednesday night on our study of the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord's pouring some sobering stuff down here lately, ain't he? But you know, it's a good thing, because you know why? Whenever he's doing that, it means he's preparing us for something. Glory to God. He wants us ready for something. That's how I see it anyway. I mean, man, when Patton trained the Third Army, he put them through literal hell on earth in their training exercises. He had them to where when they finally met the Germans, it was a cakewalk for them, because they had already been through training that was 10 times harder than facing the Germans. That was his philosophy, and that's really God's philosophy for us. He's going to take us through the fire. I said he's going to take us through the fire. He's going to take us through the fire. Hallelujah. He'll do it. But sometimes he'll let us stand there thinking that, man, we're just not going to make it. But then there'll come a time when we'll be facing that thing. We'll be facing that giant. And it'll be, hey, the Lord was with me when I fought the bear, and he's with me when I fought the lion. Ha ha! He'll be with me against you, Goliath. Glory to God. He's preparing us. And that faith and repentance keeps us in God's preparation. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, be with us on Wednesday night. Austin, come dismiss us in prayer this morning. Praise God.